I want to cover some remaining topics here in this last audio, first with a look at your insurance cards. I usually like to play another game, put your cards on the table, because so many people we've counseled or spoken to don't really know what they have. I don't blame them. Where do you learn this stuff? So on page 15 of the presentation PDF, you'll see five cards, and the one on the top left is the Medicare card. It has your name, your number, which is a random string of letters and numbers, and it tells you the date you started getting Part A and or Part B. A word of caution about the Medicare card. Even though it no longer has your Social Security number on it, the scammers have developed some new tricks, of course. Medicare is not giving out replacement cards. You'd have to log into your secure account and print out a replacement one for yourself or call them up and ask them to send you a new one. So I don't have to tell you to hang up the phone on anyone telling you that you need a new card for this year, or worse, that you're going to get a fine if you don't reorder one from them. To the right of that is a sample Medigap card. It has the company's name, the kind of plan it is, in this case an F, your member ID, name, and effective date. Simple, clean. All this card does is pick up the rest of the costs that Medicare is not paying for, depending on the type of plan you bought. You give the Medicare card and the Medigap card to your providers, and they'll send the paperwork through to the right places. On the top right is a prescription drug card. Again, simple like the Medigap card. This one goes to the pharmacist. And at the bottom left corner is the Medicare Advantage card, which is packed with information. You can't mistake this for anything else but a complete dinner menu. It has the name of the company, of course, and the type of plan it is, like an HMO in this case. It gives the network you're in, the PCP, that's the primary care physician, their telephone number and copay, and also a copay for specialists, emergency room, and the pharmaceutical costs. Usually there's a big RX somewhere on this card, which indicates that the plan includes prescription drugs. I've put this last one here for Blue Cross Blue Shield in case you run into it. They use little suitcase logos, or none at all, to indicate the kind of coverage they're giving you. There's actually more suitcases there than I show, so you have to look them up online for the various kinds of HMOs, PPOs, and other types of plans that they offer. No logo at all means it's a Medigap, or for people on Medicaid. Since I drew up these charts a few years ago, there have been some changes, as with all cards. So just Google Blue Cross Blue Shield suitcase logo, and you'll see a 16-page document on them, believe it or not. The last screen in the presentation PDF is devoted to bits and pieces, which I want to go through as quickly as possible. Appeals and grievances, that's the first one. There's a difference. You file an appeal when you're not getting the service or the prescription drug you think you need, even when it's not in the literature that it's being offered. Filing an appeal has always been pretty simple. The rules were laid out in the handbook and online. Appeals have always taken some time to play out, as the back and forth between you and your plan and your doctor or pharmacist, that's for the backup documentation, is a lengthy process, depending, of course, whether the plan just wants to give up fighting you early on in the process. Keep in mind who has the most stake in the profits of these companies. Is it you, the patient, or the stockholders? In any case, keep trying. Develop a harder skin than you think you have, because you're up against a massive industry with its own survival instincts, and you sometimes have to go against your own desire to be nice. This is pure business, and appeals can go way up into the court system. I'd like to add that filing an appeal is not always the best choice to solve a problem. If you have a question about something in your bill, you might want to call the office first to see if it's a simple coding error or that they've processed the paperwork incorrectly. That happens. You don't need a whole appeal process to solve this issue. But if you're sure you should be covered by the plan, call the plan and explain you've been billed for something that you don't understand. Sometimes it's the plan itself that calls the office and they take care of it for you. Grievances are something else. That's when you want to complain about an issue, like the way the doctor or the plan operates. When you file a grievance, and it can be done verbally, you're triggering an incident, and there's protocols for resolving these. I write grievances all the time because I have a lot of experience with what seniors should expect from their medical practitioners at this point in their lives when they're perhaps not so comfortable on the computer or negotiating telephone options, which, by the way, are frequently designed not by the office workers themselves, but by corporate tech people, some with no hands-on experience. By filing a grievance, I feel I'm speaking for others who can't or won't bother doing it for themselves. For example, I have a personal peeve against technology taking over and running our lives, particularly when it's so inefficient from the patient's point of view. And I don't always file grievances first. I mostly call the office manager to tell them my gripe and explain where this particular procedure they're doing is just not good enough for us. Generally, they're responsive and fix things. I go to grievance more for policies, like when I get a call out of the blue from some office person asking if I want a visiting nurse to come over and talk to me about my health needs. That, to me, is outrageous. I didn't give this outside organization my health information. The plan did, and shame on them. But I'm hoping that if they hear from a lot of us, they'll take it more seriously. I mentioned telehealth earlier, which we won't see so much anymore from 2025 on, unless the laws change. But there's such a thing as virtual check-ins. These brief sessions, less than 10 minutes long, allow you to talk with your providers through software, like your phone or a computer, without going to the office. You can send them photos for their review, and they can respond by phone or video, secure text message, email, or actually the patient portal. Medicare permanently expanded access to telemedicine for behavioral health services, though. As for COVID tests, traditional Medicare hasn't covered these since the middle of 2023, but Advantage plans may do. Starting in September 2024, residential households were eligible for another 4 free tests from the feds. You can order these on the USPS website. I want to mention the new for-profit effort in the Medicare industry that's causing even more dismay than the profit motives of the Advantage plans. The Advantage plans have recently made news because of the way they've been pulling more per capita funding from the government by claiming some patients are sicker than they really are. Well, a program called Direct Contracting began under the last Trump administration and proceeded into the Biden administration's almost identical iteration of this thing called ACO REACH. It's also somewhat controversial. ACO REACH is a voluntary model to last for 4 years until the end of 2026. Here are the 3 things that are causing people a lot of concern. First of all, Medicare Advantage plans are allowed to use about 15% of incoming dollars for profit and administration. These new ACO REACH entities are allowed to use up to 40%, and that means they're only required to spend 60% on healthcare. Secondly, if your doctor or group signs up with a DC or a REACH organization, you will be transferred into it automatically without your full understanding or consent. You won't be able to opt out of this unless you change your primary doctor. And lastly, there aren't any limits on the type of company that can become an ACO REACH entity. They don't need the consent of Congress or of Medicare. For example, your doctor may find himself in a situation where the plan is run by a hedge fund. I know people already who have received letters from one medical group here in Westchester saying that they're going to be transferred into a direct contracting structure. It's troublesome. Look for accountable care organizations on Medicare.gov to find out what CMS thinks is good about these things, and you can Google a purported fact sheet on the program by searching, quote, ACO REACH Myths and Facts, unquote, put out by a nonprofit industry consortium. I want to mention the Medicare authorization form. If you need someone like a caregiver to be able to talk about your health when they call Medicare on your behalf, send in that form and they'll be able to do it. I called Medicare to make sure that if you send this form in now when you are not in need of a proxy, that paperwork would still be sent to you and not to the people you specify. That was not totally clear on the first page of the form. I didn't want my kids to start receiving duplicates of what Medicare sends me in these good years. Medicare assured me that they will only send stuff to the address for me on file, not to the people I authorize with this form. Other practices that have become very prevalent and are really troublesome are upcoding, where providers are encouraged to add additional coding to your health profile to get a larger per capita amount from the public agencies like Medicare. And the trouble with that is the plan is not required to spend that extra money on your particular health. Nothing is new about kickbacks or free vacations. cash, speaking positions for doctors, and research grants, calling into question the value of what you are being prescribed. Defensive medicine is where providers sometimes recommend tests or treatments, not so much for our benefit, but to protect themselves from potential lawsuits. Click and close is a term used to describe how companies encourage staff physicians to review first stage or questionable denials as quickly as possible. And the more they delay or deny, the more money stays inside the insurance company and doesn't go out to patient care. Direct-to-consumer advertising is meant to encourage patients to ask their doctors for specific drugs, tests, or equipment, things they might hear on TV. Pharmacy benefit managers run every aspect of the delivery of prescription drugs. They're the middlemen between the insurance companies and the pharmacies, profiting at almost every stage in the supply chain, and are the reason why so many local pharmacies have been closing down across the country. Some other ways that health insurance companies maintain profits, apart from the prior authorizations and things we've just talked about, they work very hard to enroll seniors into Advantage plans and play hardball with hospital systems. They may institute pay cuts to providers. They sometimes force layoffs and sometimes even eliminate underperforming operating divisions. These are the simplest strategies we as laymen can understand without taking a business course. If you have an issue with Medicare services, you can call the Livanta helpline, L-I-V-A-N-T-A. That helpline is at 866-815-5440. It's the Quality Improvement Organization in New York State responsible for medical case review, and it works to make sure you get the services that are required by law. You might call them, for example, if you feel you're being discharged from a hospital too soon. That will probably get you an extra 24 hours to make your arrangements for a safe release. Medicare is actually going to pay for that. Again, their number is 866-815-5440. And another program to know about is the Senior Medicare Patrol. That works to prevent and report Medicare fraud and waste, and you can Google them. They have a good helpline. I just realized that I haven't talked about star ratings, which is the way Medicare measures how well the Advantage plans and the Part D plans perform. They're rated in categories like quality of care, customer service, and assigned an overall rating as well from 1 to 5 stars in the fall. You can see these ratings in the online plan finder through Medicare.gov, but to tell you the truth, ratings aren't really at the top of my list for consideration. Advantage plans are rated in 5 categories relating to staying healthy and managing chronic conditions, the plan's responsiveness, member complaints, and customer service. Part D plans have only 4 categories, but they're along similar lines, the main different ones being drug pricing and patient safety. But you might want to give some real thought to a plan with fewer than 3 stars. And it's also interesting to note that once a year, you're allowed to use a special enrollment period to switch to a 5-star plan from the one you're currently enjoying, if you can find one of these in your area. Call Medicare to make the change if you need to. That useful telephone numbers box links to a list I've compiled for getting help. Side 1 is for medical issues, and side 2 is for other kinds of senior services. It's hard to update. I only do it once every year and a half or so. There's a link on the demystifying screen for a paper I wrote up to explain misleading advertising techniques that companies use to get you to sign up for their plans. Please consider reading that, because fraud and scamming and creative advertising all have become so rampant and very aggressive. People are really sucked in by these things. On the reverse side of that PDF are broker do's and don'ts. Brokers can't do whatever they want to get your business, and you should actually report them if they don't follow rules set by Medicare or New York State. Contact the Senior Medicare Patrol I mentioned earlier. Our volunteers can be reached at the hotline and at various walk-in centers. At the top of this screen, click on the Senior Benefits link. Select Medicare and Senior Benefits from the small drop-down menu there for all the ways you can reach out to us and other organizations for individual counseling. Feel free to use the email addresses on the bottom of this page to ask us questions or give us a call. We steep ourselves in Medicare, and if we can't answer something right away, we're more than happy to do some research and get back to you.